Leidos wins a $4.3 billion contract for a new electronic health record system from the Pentagon. The acquisition process started 2 years ago after three draft RFPs and three potential bidders either dropped out or were eliminated. You can read more about the award from my colleague Jared Serbu at federalnewsradio.com. Dave Wintergreen's vice president of technology at the Professional Services Council and former assistant deputy chief management officer at DOD. Dave, you were elbow deep in this when you were in the DCMO's office with Beth McGrath at the Pentagon. What'd you think as the reports of this started to come out yesterday? Thanks for your time today.
It's great to be here with you, Francis, and I'm delighted to see forward progress. DOD is huge, you know, 50 hospitals, 600 clinics, worldwide healthcare from the battlefield back to the U.S., 150,000 employees, 10 million beneficiaries. It is a huge enterprise and in need of new technology to support the delivery of healthcare, so I'm glad that they are launching the effort.
My colleague Jared Serbu writes, the initial contract covers the first 2 years of the rollout, includes options if exercised that could extend the deal to 2025. Do we have a sense of what kind of a reasonable time frame is to expect a deliverable on a project like this? I mean, it's just enormous.
It is enormous, and that will be one of the big challenges. The DOD has a good team at work on this. Chris Miller, their PEO, and Dr. Jonathan Woodson, their Assistant Secretary of Defense of Health Affairs. Good team working this, but as you point out, it is a huge and complex environment, and you know how it goes with large ERP-like solutions like this. You have to move quickly. You have to implement capabilities quickly. The longer it takes, the more separated from your customer you get. So they will have to move with speed, and they have an aggressive plan to do an initial operating capability at 8 sites and by the end of 2016, but you know, in DOD, there's a lot of complexity to move from here to there.
Is this the appropriate kind of a procurement for an agile approach? I don't have the details on exactly how they intend to get those 8 sites out by 2016, but it strikes me that it would be really advantageous in this kind of a complex development process to know piece by piece by piece at some short period of time that you continue to be on the right track.
Yeah, absolutely. Relentlessly communicating, managing your plan, making sure that you're taking care of the details and you're not being waylaid by extraneous reporting requirements. There's a huge set of work for this team as they go and implement this. There's great potential. I mean, these systems by Cerner, in this case, the winning ERP provider, you know, are in place around the country. I mean, this can be done, but it's going to take a lot of hard work to get it done.
Jared's story says that this is a mostly commercial off-the-shelf IT product. I imagine that one of the goals, if it perhaps, will be to keep it as close as possible to that commercial off-the-shelf IT product, understanding that there are some very unique needs that the Defense Department will have. But is my assumption correct that we want to try to keep it as stock as possible without getting into too much customization?
You are spot on, Francis. You know these stories well. I mean, this is like the key, you know, next step, lessons learned, best practice thing is, you know, number one, you have to recognize the unique environments here. I mean, you know, DOD healthcare is unique. I mean, you go to the recruit training center in Great Lakes, you watch how dental care is given to recruits there. It is nothing like your dentist's office, let me tell you. And so while you have to recognize and be able to deal with these unique environments, the power of commercial solutions is to make sure that you've optimized your processes. So while you have to recognize the unique stuff, customization is the single biggest pitfall that you can run into. And they're going to have to take some very, you know, long in place processes and give them the business process, you know, re-engineering treatment to make them align to commercial best practices.
Dave Wintergreen's vice president of technology at the Professional Services Council, former assistant deputy chief management officer at DOD. I think of all of what Jared wrote about this, the part of this that I was happiest to see that made me most optimistic about the future potential of the system was this passage right here. Chris Miller, the program executive officer for the Defense Healthcare Management System Modernization Program, said the contract will also include strict requirements for government ownership of data rights. Vendor lock and data ownership are the exact kinds of issues that meant we needed to take our time with this procurement, do it right. We own 100% of the data, and people cannot charge us to share that data. That freedom inside DOD, it's not just the data issue, it's the vendor lock part there that I think is noteworthy and useful as well.
Absolutely. You know, the key of this is about the data. It always has been all along. We have so conflated this story over the last few years. Every hospital in America is not going to ever run off of the same EHR solution. It's not about everybody in the world has to use one version of Cerner or Epic. It's about information being available to be consumed and protected, but consumed by the right practitioners and by the patient as they need it. And so having the data that's available to be exposed and not locked away, right, that's at the heart of what will make this successful. It is so much more about information available to share with the VA, to share with TRICARE providers, to have the patient have access to their own medical data. I mean, that's at the heart of this effort.
And you went right where I hoped you would, Dave, to the interoperability issue. And I understand and respect your bias toward the DoD approach, which is we don't necessarily feel obligated to adopt Vista, as we see by this huge procurement that Jared's writing about and we're learning about. And that I don't have an opinion of whether one's right or one's not, but the concept that you're talking about, you made this argument to me, I guess it's been, well, you were still in the Pentagon then, with the example of the data that airlines share with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, over and over again, you see it. I mean, you got at some point, you got to think about the bigger it is, the harder it is to get done. And you can make these solutions so large and so complex. And to my example about a single healthcare system for every hospital in the nation, right? And you will bury yourself in the complexities of trying to appease everyone and never delighting anyone. And so at the heart of this is, can you create a solution that is open standards-based, has open APIs, allows different kinds of applications to be plugged in, so you could take the best radiology product and the best pharmacy product, and the data is available to be shared with others, and there's a good user interface. Those are the building blocks for success here. It's not about everyone in the country using one company's product.
You touched on security a moment ago, and I'll ask you to put on your former CIO hat and talk about the steps that should happen to make sure that security is built into this system as they go along, rather than getting to the end, as we've done so many times in government, and realizing, oops, we better go ahead and make this secure.
Well, you are darn right there, Francis. You know, get it right. On the heels of the OPM debacle, I'm just going to say, this is not something you can give short shrift to. I will say this is something that's front and center in the Department of Defense's mind, though. They are going to spend a lot of time. And one of the beauties is of taking a best practice commercial solution is, you know, the ability to, as they say, bake security in from the beginning, rather than trying to bolt it on to a series of varying aged legacy systems.
Overall, when should we figure, regardless of what the time schedule is, when should we figure that we have an understanding, either internally or externally, of whether this is working the way that the Pentagon had hoped? I mean, can we expect to see that when this test is fully deployed at the end of 2016, this set of eight locations, or is it possible that it can be sooner than that, or is it possible it will take longer than that?
Well, yeah, all of the above. Because you know, at the heart of this, we got to give them some time to go get this thing done. And so we cannot begin the relentless drumbeat that so often happens about, oh my gosh, it's not working next week. But they have set some targets, and the success of any of these kind of large IT solutions is that we're very visible about how we're doing to hit those targets. And you know how it goes. The more it slips, the farther away from the customer you get, the more, you know, requirements change and systems change and stuff. And so I think helping track to this 2016 goal will be a wonderful indicator of, you know, the speed with which this thing can be implemented.
How hard will it be to stop or at least slow down requirements creep on something like this?
Yeah. Well, you know, you think about it. We talked about the scope of this. Every military department, it is massive and huge and has unique complexities, you know. And so it will be a relentless battle to sort of keep an eye on the prize here about, you know, you got to get it right within reason. Right, get it delivered, get capabilities in the hands of users, then you can, you know, refine and revise. But the biggest challenges happen when we keep saying, well, we want to go back and rethink the requirements, rethink the beginning, and then we just start to, you know, really get ourselves away from results.
That's my biggest fear, maybe is too strong a word, skepticism, is that we'll get into this and a million people with the absolute best and most noble of intentions. I don't mean to impugn people's intentions, but we'll start to hear the hands or see the hands raised and hear the voices. Well, how come it doesn't do this? Are you going to be able to make it do this? Is it possible to make it do that? And people's will start to get distracted and we'll go a bunch of different directions and we'll wind up with something we don't want to see.
Yes, you are so right. And we will have to be able to distinguish between the heated rhetoric about, I didn't get what I want, versus is it working or not, right? And you know, and I'm a huge loyal alumni member of the Department of Defense, but I will just say it's, you know, the size of the Department of Defense is so big and ERP-like solutions, right, don't usually get implemented quickly, right? And so, and not without issues. So it is going to take the commitment. I am so delighted to see Frank Kendall saying in the interviews yesterday he spent more time on this than any other weapon, than any weapon system in DOD, because this is going to take the commitment of the Secretary of Defense, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Frank Kendall, the Undersecretary of Defense, and many others to drive this thing and not let it become a victim of changes and complaints and things.